Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Are we all here? Wait, there's Jeff.
We're here.
All right, Vic, you're back from golf camp. You're back from Georgia.
Yes.
I'm back from Mobile.
Yep. Joe never left.
Well, figuratively speaking, he went to Dallas.
Mentally, he did.
He's back. All right, folks, welcome to Jaguars This Week. Here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman. Joe Fortunato's here and brought his lovely wife Linda in. So if you call tonight at 355-NFL-1, be sure to be nice because Joe's not answering it this evening. Lots to talk
about.
That's
a good thing.
I think so.
He's not feeling well.
Yeah, Joe looks like he's seen better days.
Yeah, he ate something bad out of the Fortunato fridge.
Yeah.
You know? That's why they put dates on things.
Power
there,
get
Joe.
Shut off or something?
Joe saw a piece of cheese and it had mold growing on it like hair. And he just cut that little nasty piece off and just proceeded to eat the rest of it.
How'd it taste? Not bad. All right, so we got lots to talk about. But the beginning has to be about Gene Smith, who today had his first formal press conference as the Jaguars general manager. And he was, well, let's put it this way. I was walking in with my photog, Pat Cavanaugh. I said, this will be short, 15, 18 minutes tops. More than 45 minutes.
Is that right? It went that long.
More than 45 minutes. And strong is probably the best adjective to describe Gene Smith today.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about revelations from the press conference. Revelation number one. Gene Smith has final say on all matters pertaining to personnel, including cutting the final roster, making the final roster cuts.
Now, that's interesting because Wayne told us that everything football belonged to Jack 2 weeks ago, you remember?
Everything coaching belonged to Jack.
I always thought
apparently,
coaching.
Apparently,
yeah.
Cutting the roster is not coaching. It
well,
is
we'd had that conversation
yes, we
2 weeks ago,
we
and
didn't
that's
know.
Why I kept asking you about that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
To me, that's a big deal.
I was stunned when I heard this today because I couldn't imagine, you know, taking that from the coach. But it now belongs to Gene Smith, and he understands that he has been charged with that, challenged with that, and there was no back down. He accepts the responsibility and the accountability that goes with it, and he let it be known that that is his task, and he is to be accountable for it.
No one has ever had all of that consolidated power.
Well, Tom Coughlin had it.
Okay.
There's never been anyone in this building.
Yeah, that's what I was.
In personnel, it's had this kind of power.
Yeah.
There's a guy in the league that has this kind of power, Bill Parcells.
Is he the only one?
No.
Those guys are disappearing. Well, Gene also, you know, said that he part of his responsibility is assigning fair market value to contracts, you know, as a starting point.
Bill Polian has that.
Bill Polian has that. Bill Parcells has that. Mike Shanahan had it
in San Diego.
AJ Smith
has that.
Has that.
And then the new general manager slash
Scott
personnel
Pioli.
VP. Well, Scott Pioli, but then also Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta has
right.
that. So
there's some.
It's not uncommon.
Revelation.
It's just new here.
Yes.
I mean, the coaches
well,
had that,
recently,
but
new.
Never a personnel guy.
Revelation number two, Gene is obsessed with, and rightfully so, with making with not only building the team through the draft, but building the team through the draft by drafting high-character players. He went there voluntarily
well, no,
on multiple occasions.
Because I had a question, I want to preface it for you.
But he went back to it
yes,
two or
did.
Three times.
Yes, he did.
And then gave a passionate or an impassioned dissertation at the end of his press conference that was purely volunteered about the need to make sure that high-character players are brought into this community. It should be an expectation. And
because of his fondness for the community,
you know,
as
oh,
well
Gene,
as for the football
Gene,
team.
Gene has established deep roots
yeah.
here in Jacksonville.
The reason that I say I brought it up was I want to preface it. Did you see the Martellus Bennett YouTube video. Have you heard of it?
No.
I saw a little bit.
All right. The tight end, the young tight end, he'll be a second-year player this fall for the Cowboys. If he makes it, did a YouTube video with a buddy of his rapping. To say it was profane is to say that your shirt is blue. I mean, it doesn't even begin to describe it, all right? It was unreal. He was either drunk or high or both. It was, and when now it's gone now. You can't see it. But the minute anybody saw that, the first thing they think is, oh, those Cowboys.
Well,
this is a bad guy. So it was apropos, I thought, to talk about character today, because all of a sudden now, when that video really makes the rounds, it's going to become the topic in the NFL.
Well,
everywhere, not just here.
Gene punctuated his passion for high character football players by saying, when some insensitive media guy said, hey, you know, how come you didn't do that before?
Yeah. Who was that?
The guy with the shirt that's not quite blue.
Oh.
And he said, Rick. we're going to make that a stronger emphasis, point of emphasis going forward, meaning that he's going to do a better job of it
right.
going forward. So there's a couple revelations. There were some others, too. He was very, very noncommittal, as you would expect, about Fred Taylor. But there was a pregnant... ending to his remarks where he said, I think it was you who asked him, can he still play? And he said he can without a question still play. He would help any team in the league, which I, you know, found that to be somewhat curious.
I think that can mean two things. For one is that, yes, we recognize his value here.
Right.
Or it could be, hey, anybody interested?
I think it means that no decision has been made and that there truly is a decision to be made. It's not a rubber stamp thing. Now, he went on to say that Wayne Weaver, loves Fred to death, and Gene talked about Fred as the heritage player
right.
that he is, and you can tell they want to sign him. But when you put it all together, it says, Fred, you know what this means. You know, be willing to restructure your contract.
And I think that's a revelation that people like you and Jeff and I that have known Gene all these years saw. Gene's pretty sharp.
He was sensational,
leaving that door open today. He was smooth.
Gene was really, really good today. He was smooth.
Let me ask you,
a scout today. He truly was a general manager.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I was getting ready to ask you, because I know that one of your concerns was that can Gene make a tough decision and take it across the hall or to the office at the end of the hall, which is the owner, mm-hmm. and say, this is what we need to do forcefully?
He was so strong with aura. That's a good word. His aura was so strong today, there's no question that he understands a couple things. Number one, he has been charged with these responsibilities, so it's his neck. And his, you know what, too.
Posterior.
If he doesn't do it right. It's not going to be anybody else's butt. It's not going to be Jack Del Rio's. It's not going to be anybody else in the building. It's going to be his neck in the noose
now,
on all these things.
Did anybody ask the question as
go ahead.
General manager per se, does he have the right to hire and fire the coach?
That did not get asked today.
No, Jeff. You should have been there, Jeff. I'd have loved to hear you ask that question.
Well, the reason I ask that is look what has happened in Kansas City. I mean,
right.
Scott
Pioli
goes to Kansas City. Herman Edwards, who is an established coach, and obviously Pioli comes from outside.
I can't imagine that Wayne Weaver would have gone that far. I mean, I got to imagine that when you have all of the money wrapped up in a coach that Wayne Weaver has,
and I'm not
Jack Del Rio, 1 year after he signed him to this,
but you're going
to
give him the authority to do
it's got to be Wayne's call.
Well, and I'm not suggesting that Gene and Jack don't get along, because Gene and Jack have a very good working relationship.
I think so too, and he was asked, you know, do you have the strength of conviction and the courage to say no to the coach? He says, I've already said no to the coach, and the coach has said no to me. He says, we've already done that thing.
Yeah.
So I came away from this press conference today feeling like if this team has one thing, going into this offseason, it's direction. I mean, they have got an absolute direction, and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna find out how it turns out. But I was greatly, greatly encouraged by what I heard from Gene Smith today.
As we go to the break, it will be it. Most people will never hear the answer to this question, but you asked him about the age of his team and getting younger, and he. This is what really impressed me. He started firing off
numbers.
Colts, Titans, averages.
Titans are 29. Colts are average age is 28. The Jaguars are 27. Now, I don't buy into that stuff totally because, you know, a Peyton Manning isn't 28 years old, and that's your team. And David Garrard isn't 27 years old,
right,
and that's your team.
But,
you know,
but it wasn't.
You're only as young as your quarterback. And what's his name? Kerry Cullen certainly is not 29 years old.
But the point of it is, man, he knew it. He knew his stuff. He had it down pat today. Any question, he was ready for the answer, whether he was going to give information or not. We need a break. Sorry to interrupt.
This was a strong day in this franchise's history.
We need a break. These guys are with you. I'm going to do CBS 47. More to come on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right after this.
I don't know if that's a goal. Tennessee, average age is 29. The Colts is 28. We're 27. Houston's 27. The two teams playing in the Super Bowl, 28. I've always worked off a number of trying to keep the average age at 27. I don't know what the magic number is, but certainly whatever the age of your football team, the goal is to compete, to be in the playoffs, and ultimately to win a world championship.
And that's Gene Smith, per se, new general manager, I guess you could say. What's the official title?
General manager.
General manager is now the official title.
Yeah, see, he was promoted twice.
Let's go back, because at the end of the season, James Harris resigned, Shaq resigned.
It was the last week of the season.
And then Gene Smith was promoted to vice president.
Director of personnel.
Well, then somebody was knocking on the door saying, hey, we want to talk to Gene Smith.
And Cleveland.
Cleveland. And then Wayne Weaver did, I thought, which was a very bright thing, and that was basically elevated the title of Gene Smith to general manager and gave him, obviously, all of the authority to do that.
Well, what he did was he gave a title that Cleveland would have given to Gene Smith had they hired him. So since he had the same title, it's a lateral move, and he can't make it because he was under contract.
Mm-hmm.
That also allowed them to promote Terry McDonough, promote Tim Mingy, and Andy Dingler. Three outstanding scouts.
And they've
they
been
really
here for
needed
quite
the bump.
Some time.
And they needed the bump. All right, so I really like what Gene is doing in scouting. I like what Gene is doing in all ways. I really think he is his strength of conviction about doing things in the way he believes they should be done. Build through the draft. Be thorough. Be workaholics. I'm going to cover the scouting combine, and it's not to report on cone drills. I'm going to Indianapolis in February to report on the scouting, to use the scouting combine as a backdrop, a dateline on stories that I hope will illustrate how the Jaguars do business in scouting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show the fans how this team is going to function with Gene Smith as its general manager, of course, I'll throw in a cone drill if you'd like. You know, I have no use for that crap, but I want to show how this team does business at the scouting combine. And Gene Smith is a true workaholic. You're talking about a guy who doesn't leave this place until late at night. He, I believe, is a very, very strong promotion, really gives this team a fantastic direction for the recovery that it has to go through, and I think he is deserving of one thing, patience.
You got to give somebody in that position time to work.
Jeff, here's the big problem. Here's the big problem Gene is facing. Here's a guy who believes in building through the draft and not spending money in free agency, and he's only got 6 draft picks. All right? Now, next year, because of all these guys they're going to let go, the Reggie Williams, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera, because of the guys they're letting go, because they'll almost certainly be signed by somebody, there will be a return of compensatory picks to the Jaguars in the 2010 draft. So let's say the Jaguars get an extra 2 or 3 5, 6, and 7th rounders next year in the 2010 draft as compensatory picks. So now they've got 10 picks, 9 picks. You see, it's much easier to rebuild your roster as the Titans did coming out of their salary cap mess. 1 year they traded down 2 or 3 times and got a total of 11 picks. They had 11 draft picks that year. Okay. They were Travis LeBoy and Antoine Odoms and these guys, and they didn't turn into stars, but you see, you did get service out of them for some years.
And you got compensatory picks at the end.
Exactly. When you let them go, you got the same picks back that you used to draft them almost. See, and this is what's called replenishing yourself. This is Gene Smith's philosophy. But going in, because of the picks they traded away last year to move up, he has one fewer than a full 7. He's only got 6. He's only got 6 picks this year, and it's going to be very, very difficult to, and quote him, retool this team with just 6 picks. I have no doubt that next year, after the 09 and 10 drafts, he'll have this thing retooled.
You know, the one thing, though, that I don't necessarily agree with, I don't believe that compensatory picks should be there. That's my opinion.
Well, that's a union stance, and I have long agreed with you.
Well, and the reason
because they're not really free if it's compensation.
Well, then the reason I say that is not so much because it's a union stance and guys should be free, is that if a team, for example, like the Tennessee Titans, grossly mismanages their salary cap where they can't retain certain players' services, why should they be rewarded for not taking care of their salary cap in the end? Because virtually that's what happened with
the
Tennessee
Titans.
They got rewarded.
The players' union went for it because nobody was having picks taken away from them, only picks added to the draft. The Steelers love compensatory picks.
Oh, I understand,
you know,
why
that's
teams
one of the
love
reasons.
It.
That's one of the reasons why they are where they are, because they love, you know, letting guys go in free agency. This year they're going to let Nate Washington, a big time player for them, they're going to let him go, and they're going to haul in a compensatory pick for him, and it could be rather,
and they'll draft his replacement.
Exactly. This is what Gene wants
just
to
like
do.
They did when they let Plexico Burress go, and they drafted Santonio Holmes.
Bingo. And this is what Gene wants to do. They didn't draft him with a compensatory pick, but
no.
they traded up to draft Santonio Holmes, so they probably took a compensatory pick.
To get up.
Right. Exactly. You know, here's the one and the compensatory pick or something like that. This is Gene's philosophy. In year two of his regime, he's going to be where he wants to be. But he's behind the eight ball this year because he's only going to have 6 picks, and I don't know how you're going to address all the needs this team has.
He's
with
only
6 picks.
He's only got 6 picks.
Yeah.
Okay. But was the question asked today about the future of some of the veteran players that are on this roster? And you know where I'm going with this? You know, Jerry Porter. You know, if he has the authority to make and shape the roster. What did he comment?
You have to know, Jeff, what not to ask, because you're going to shut him down at some point. Now, the question was asked, as I said, well, why didn't this matter before? How come you didn't, you know, you weren't as vigilant about high character in the past? Because there have been some guys here that have, you know, would not make it through the new filter, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he was without an answer, but the answer is that this is going to be his point of emphasis. This is going to be his stamp. His signature on this team is going to be build through the draft and draft high-character guys.
There you go. And we'll come back with more Jaguars this week, including some more snippets of the Gene Smith press conference.
Any decision that pertains to the roster is ultimately mine.
The words of Gene Smith at his news conference today when asked about the power sharing, or what was once power sharing. Clearly, it's not any longer.
Oh, you heard that.
He's the man.
I mean, Wayne Weaver made it crystal clear to Gene Smith so that he understood. Now, don't go thinking that this is share the credit, share the blame. This is take the credit, take the blame.
Right.
All right? So make sure that if you're money is on the horse, make sure it's your horse.
Right. And let's say it again for those folks who are listening who are wondering, well, I thought that Wayne delineated football, the actual playing of the game, to Jack. The roster has
coaching. Jack,
but the roster's not cutting. The roster is no longer
personnel.
Coaching.
Roster is personnel.
How was it done all those years with Tom Donahoe and Bill
play
Cowher?
Play calling is coaching.
How was it all those years with Bill Cowher and Tom Donahoe? Did Bill Cowher cut his roster? Or did Tom Donahoe cut it?
That's a good question.
Because
that was probably one of the flaps between the two that caused them to split and Donahoe get fired, because you had a pick, and they'll always pick the guy that has the most money and they have the most money invested in. Tom Donahoe was in charge of personnel. I guarantee you he had roster cut ability.
Did Chuck Knoll have roster cut?
Chuck was completely in charge. He was Tom Coughlin.
But he
didn't exercise it as Coughlin did.
How about?
Because Franco Harris is a perfect example. Chuck Knoll wanted to draft Robert Newhouse. And Artie Rooney was the personnel director. And he was adamant, passionate about Franco Harris. And Chuck relented. And as you can tell, Franco Harris is in the Hall of Fame and Robert Newhouse isn't.
Right.
But Robert Newhouse was a pretty good football player.
Good career. Yeah. But he became a blocking back and not a feature runner.
What about Tom Landry? I mean, going back now, Tom Landry, when he had Tex Schramm as his general manager, I mean...
Gil Brandt. Yeah, Tex Schramm was president.
Got that mixed up.
Yeah, he did things like finding ways to screw all the other teams in the league so the Cowboys had an advantage.
Gil Brandt then.
Gil Brandt was the person. No, it was Texas thing.
Mm-hmm.
He always made sure that he changed home, for instance, home
he
field
advantage.
He was
the Red Auerbach of the NFL.
You know, the playoffs didn't used to be according, the home field advantage didn't used to be according to record. It used to be on a rotation basis, which is why the 72 Dolphins played the AFC title game in Pittsburgh. They had a perfect record, but the AFC Central that year had home field advantage in their rotation. Well, Tex had a good team coming up in 1975, and he wanted to make sure that they weren't in the rotation, so he changed the rule 1 year after they were. They had home field. The NFC East had it.
The Red Auerbach. Remember, Red changed the rules so that he could draft Larry Bird as a junior.
Exactly.
And then they changed it back afterwards.
Worked out pretty well.
Tex Schramm was a legislator, a lobbyer. Yeah. He was
politician.
A politician. And Gil Brandt was the personnel guy.
In a lot of different arenas.
And Landry had final say there. Gil Brandt gained in esteem to the point that few people challenged him. They took his advice. That's what you really want. You want a personnel guy who becomes so good at what he does that the people who have the final say, Gil, what should I do?
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. He spoke to the best available player,
right,
which is something.
Well, he volunteered some names there. He volunteered Roethlisberger, which is,
I think that's pretty telling.
It's kind of a, hot button.
What's the best example, though, isn't it? If you had Roethlisberger. If
a
you
year
had just
after you had just drafted a quarterback.
But you decided shortly thereafter that Byron Leftwich wasn't going to be your guy, and
I asked him, what if Roethlisberger was in this year's draft, and he was the top guy on your board when it was your turn to pick, right? After, of course, giving all the money to David and making, he said, we like David, he's our quarterback, but he says there's an awful lot of value in that pick not to trade it or pick him.
Right. He did then preface saying, I don't want to tell anybody what I would do, but you could tell.
He'd either pass trade the pick or pick him.
Absolutely. Which brings up another question. If they're sitting at 8 this year, based on what happened last year, okay?
He wants to trade back.
But can they?
Well,
enough people?
If he
very difficult this year to trade back.
I think so, even though it's a very deep draft.
You. He said he believes that there's enough enticement in the top 10 to entice a team to come up. But the quarterbacks aren't there. Stafford's the lone guy.
But that's the position.
That's usually the position.
Draws a trade.
How about Sanchez, though?
Maybe. He's not a top 10 pick.
You don't think so, based on his
he's
performance
good,
against Penn
but
State?
He's, right now, he's not a top 10 pick.
He might
Stafford
climb that
is.
High, yeah.
He might in the postseason.
And Stafford
workouts.
Might not stay.
Well, how that is. Quarterbacks always seem to, start scooching their way up towards the top.
I tend to agree really with impressed. You two guys on that.
I was
because
impressed
of his position.
Him.
But
did you see him against Penn State? Boy, he was
fabulous.
But
and that's Penn State.
I can tell you this: he is judged to have a better arm than Leinert, but not as good an arm as Palmer.
Well, Leinert was a top 10 pick. Yeah. He was 10th.
Was he 10th?
He was 10th. So there's a chance he could be a top 10 pick. He
but Gene did say that he that would be, it would definitely be a consideration. He would, look.
You're going to consider everything.
They would love to trade out of the 8 hole. They would love to get out of the top 10.
If you could get out of the top 10 and move into the latter part of the first round and pick up a 2 or 3.
That'd kill.
Oh, yeah.
That'd kill to get out of the top 10 and get extra picks.
I just don't know how plausible
cost
it is.
Cost you less money, give you more picks.
Well, especially in this economic environment. How many big market teams are laying player or laying personnel off?
You know who
could
do it?
Quite a few.
Well, that's why I say, who wants to pay $17
million?
Philadelphia
could do it. They have 2 ones and they're both low. They could throw the 21st pick at the Jaguars to move up to 8.
Yeah, but do you really think a team is going to get – I mean, if I had 2 late first-round picks, I'm not giving them up to move into the top 10.
No, not give up both of them, but you give up one of them, and then a 3 and a 4.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got 2 ones, why do you need the 3s and 4s and all that? You know what I mean?
And Andy Reid might be looking for his next quarterback. He might.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, he thinks he's got him.
Oh, they did draft Kevin Cobb. I forgot about that.
Yeah. He's been a little bit of a disappointment.
Well, if you got a chance at a top 10 guy, and if they're a franchise quarterback, you probably go up.
They're not disappointed in him. Not if you're going to bench the starter.
There are some other guys that.
What's wrong with McNabb? I missed this. What's
that? You know, all year long, the talk was that he was not going to have his contract addressed.
Pretty good in the postseason.
No, against St. Louis, against Arizona, he did.
Giants. Who else? And the Vikings.
Chicago.
Vikings.
Minnesota.
He played pretty well at the end of the season, but all year long, I guess there was a rub there.
There are a lot of teams that would like to have a starting caliber quarterback.
But getting back to this team, they would love to get out of the 8 hole. And
well, who else could drag him up besides the 2 quarterbacks? The offensive tackle
rusher.
Offensive tackle's going to create a run?
Teams aren't going to come up for offensive tackle.
I saw Michael Ower in Mobile last week. I wasn't overly impressed.
Neck down, great.
I hear that the kid from Virginia, though, is probably the most complete. Eugene
Smart,
Monroe.
Smart, athletic.
Pass blocker.
Yeah. They haven't had enough of those guys.
Economics
major. Yeah, right.
Hey, there's not many tackles. I mean, DeBrickashaw Ferguson came out. But I think he's been somewhat of a disappointment at the NFL level.
No, he's a good player. Nice. He was high in the Pro Bowl voting.
Really?
Yeah, he got near the top. He got a lot of votes.
Well, you've got a couple of offensive tackles. I don't know whether they all fit where the Jaguars are, but obviously Andre Smith from Alabama is right there near the top 10. You've got Eugene Monroe. I don't know that Michael Orr is atop. The kid, Jason, is it Simmons or
Eugene
Smith?
Eugene Monroe would be the perfect fit here because he's a high-character guy. He is an exquisite pass blocker. He is not a road grader.
Exquisite. That's kind of not a very common term to use.
He's a finesse player. He's a finesse.
But for a Virginia lineman. But for a
he's
Virginia
a finesse player.
Player.
He is not a road grader. He's not a mauler, a masher. He is a pass blocker. Great feet, great hands.
But against Mario Williams and Dwight Freeney, that's
run right, throw left.
Yeah, and Kyle Vandenbosch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's have a pass blocker, huh?
Sure.
All right.
I would still the when I was with the Jets, Dick Steinberg, first year general manager, had an opportunity to trade down in the first round. Accumulate a late round first round pick later in the first round, and I can't remember if it was another first round pick, but I think it was a 1 and a 2. And he didn't do it.
Who did he take? Blair Thomas?
Blair Thomas.
Wow, that's one of the all timers, you know.
But I mean, when you've got a chance to get extra picks, but to still stay in the first round, you've got to do that. I mean, especially with in today's economics of the first round.
$17 million guaranteed dollars. Yeah, I'd avoid that at all costs.
I mean, there are some players that you know are just can't miss that are in the top 10, but there are a lot.
That's like dropping the refrigerator on your toes and then it falls on you and kills you. I mean, you know, you know what I mean. When you do that, it's just double triple jeopardy.
Take our final break. Come back. Talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
I'm going to do my best to make it as good as I possibly can because I have such a strong belief in this organization and the people in it. And I have a lot invested that I feel like, you know, there's unfinished business here. So I'm glad to be a part of rolling my sleeves up and getting this back on track.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you thought that one of the, if maybe the only real shining moment the Jaguars have going into the offseason is Gene, and today.
The direction that they have.
Pardon me, right.
The, in my opinion.
That he gives them.
The direction that they have chosen is what is what's so encouraging.
Right.
I believe in the draft. Everybody knows that. I hate free agency. I think I regard it as a trap for fools.
Has there ever been a team that has won a Super Bowl with free agency?
The Patriots in the Patriots' first Super Bowl year, 2001, when they upset the Rams, they did some nice patchwork in free agency because they had to.
San Francisco did a little bit
because they had a lot of work to do.
In 94.
Okay, of course, they all of a sudden this guy named Tom Brady emerges, comes out of nowhere, but. The next year, they decided that they were going to, oh, that was good. Let's do some more free agency stuff. And they took a butt kicking, Donald Hayes. And so I can remember it was a tight end they signed. Ah, the guy from Denver, Fourier.
Oh, Christian Fourier.
Fourier.
Right.
I mean, Hayes was a bust. Fourier was a bust. I mean, they just took a hit.
Yeah, but in the modern era, teams haven't shown that they can improve their teams in free agency.
Every team of the decade, going back to the Packers of the 60s. That's where your modern era began. The Packers were built through the draft.
Yeah, but I'm talking modern
since
era is in... I'm talking even more recent because look at the quality of free agents that have hit the market early in free agency.
Let's just look at
late
Sunday's 90s, two teams.
No, and you can look at the early 2000s. I mean, there were a lot higher quality free agents available then as compared to now, so the free agency has become a trap.
All right, let's look at the
Steelers
four
Steelers and Cardinals.
Let's look at the four conference finalists, all right? Eagles, McNabb's a draft pick, and Westbrook.
Nobody
is a
spends
draft
more money
pick
on their own team than,
right,
than they
exactly.
Do.
Patterson's a draft
Trent
pick.
Trent Cole.
And DeSean Jackson. I mean, built through the draft. Let's look at the Cardinals.
Although John Runyon was a high dollar right tackle.
That's right. But and Trey Thomas, the left tackle,
was a draft pick. Right.
All right. Now let's look at the Cardinals.
And Asante Samuel. You got it. Asante Samuel paid off, but he was a high-dollar free agent.
You're right. But if you look at them, you'll see that they were built through the draft.
And I agree.
All right. Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald draft pick. Anquan Boldin draft pick. Steve Breaston, great fifth-round pick a year ago. Wow. They get a punt returner, a number three receiver, and a big play guy.
Dominic Rogers, Cromartie, Antoine
Darnell Dockett, Gerald Hayes, Deuce Lutulli.
Yeah.
Free agent.
Free agent. But
Leinart was drafted to be the guy.
But my point is with Kurt Warner is that free agent, but inexpensive
Bingo.
Free agent when
Very
you
good.
Got
him.
Okay.
All right. Now,
Deuce Lutulli, the right tackle, too, the kid from Penn State. Brown.
Levi Brown, he's left tackle.
Is he left? I thought he was the right tackle.
Right tackle.
I'm sorry. Levi Brown was drafted to be a left tackle.
That's right, but he's on the right side.
Levi Brown, first round pick. I mean, so they have really done well. The Steelers, Polamalu, Heath Miller, Roethlisberger, all draft
Lamar
picks.
Lamar Woodley.
James Harrison's undrafted.
Free.
Willie Parker, undrafted.
They're unreal.
Now, Ryan Clark.
Cheap free agency. James Ferrier, not such a cheap free agent.
Reasonable free agent. Melody Moore, cheap free agency. You see what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Hines Ward is a draft pick. Santonio Holmes, who's really their playmaker, draft pick. Nate Washington, undrafted free agency. Who's the other one?
Heath Miller.
The Ravens. Ray Lewis draft pick. Terrell Suggs draft pick. We sure know about that. Nagata, whatever his name is.
Bart Scott, undrafted.
Bart Scott draft pick.
Of course, now they spent a lot of money. Samari Roll was a high-dollar
Flacco
free agent.
Draft pick. You know, I mean, all you got, Trevor Price. Willis McGahee now trade.
Right, but Trevor Price, remember a couple years ago, that Steve McNair, they tried it. They've changed their approach.
But if you look at each case, you'll see some of this,
but the Ravens have more free agents than most that have been contributors. The wide receiver they got from Tennessee.
Derek Mason.
Mason is a free agent. The running back, McGahee.
Absolutely.
That was a trade, I think.
Samari Roll.
I'm trying to remember along the offensive line. I think
the whole offensive line is all draft. And it's a good young offensive
defensively,
line.
You got the free agents.
Well, you got Trevor Price, and you've got Samari Roll. I mean, they brought some guys in on the defensive side.
But the safety that sits alongside probably the best safety in the game.
Reed is a draft pick.
Yeah, but the other safety.
Jim Leonard.
Cheap free agent.
Walker is a low draft
Frank
pick.
Frank Walker. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can see that these teams are all built through the draft. Now, let's take a look at a team. The Minnesota Vikings spent a lot of money in free agency. Jared Allen.
Draft picks, too.
Okay. and who Jared and Bernard Berry,
Antoine Smith.
Yeah, but Berry and Allen were big. They didn't even win a playoff game.
Got to have a quarterback.
That's the one constant in all of this. You find your quarterback wherever you want to find him, but you better have one.
Yeah, they don't. I'm trying to think of who else
for the Vikings roster.
Well, Pat Williams was a free agent. And he's an anchor for him.
Hey, let's look at the Dolphins and how they recovered. They had a blockbuster draft.
Jake Long, Philip Merling,
Chad Henne gives them their quarterback for the future.
Yeah, and then they went and grabbed in a trade Chad Pennington. Was that a trade?
Was that a trade, or was that off the street? That was a trade.
Was he cut?
That was a trade.
That was a trade.
Because he said tonight on TV that he was released. So I'm trying to remember whether he was released.
Either way, that was an acquisition to make them respectable because you knew he couldn't take you more than to respectability. That would have to be Henne down the road. But he gave them respectability. He could get them. He could beat average teams.
So who wins Sunday?
I think Arizona right now is so hot on offense. The Steelers don't have the corners to match up with Bolden and Fitzgerald.
Nobody has the corners to match up.
They really don't
guys.
Have the corners. They play zone, and I think the
and
Steelers
we haven't seen the best of Arizona's offense yet because Bolden has not been. But
I think the Steelers are going to really struggle.
But you've got Ben Roethlisberger and the best defense in the league.
I think their defense is going to struggle against Arizona.
Well, I'm just proud of the Cardinals. As an old St. Louis Cardinal football fan, I never thought I'd say that.
I just hope it's a good football game, so my popcorn is
looking forward
they
to
it. They are the sentimental favorite.
It will taste better.
Morgan Athletic Club in 1891, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great night.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. Johns Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.